English Listening Comprehension Test, Autumn 2008, Advanced Level. This test is in four parts. Part 4 has separate directions. In Parts 1, 2, and 3, you will answer the questions asked in the booklet by choosing the best alternative answer according to what you have heard. Mark each answer on the optical answer sheet. The test is about to begin. Now you will hear part one twice. First, listen to it straight through.
We're always looking for a good destination, the perfect holiday spot, the interesting, the spectacular, the decent sort of place to go. You know, the opposite of a rogue state. Tony, where would you like to spend your holiday? Sweden. That sounds like a good, sane choice.
Sure. Sweden is neat and tidy, Anne. Even has a socialism that works. But when it comes to arms dealing, Sweden is right there with the other unethical countries. The Bofors bribery scandal in India is still bubbling right along some 20 years later. No, I don't think that'll make our list. I don't want to go there.
Think about Bhutan, then. It's hard not to rate a Himalayan kingdom good when they talk about gross national happiness. I mean, gross national happiness. Plus, in 2002, they won the other World Cup. You see, on the same day that Brazil beat Germany in the real football world championships, Bhutan beat Montserrat. They ranked 202nd and 203rd in the world.
Of course, it's not all good in the mountains. The Bhutanese have not been particularly nice to their Nepalese residents, many of whom have been kicked out and now live in squalid refugee camps. But the Bhutanese king seems to be as popular as the Nepalese monarch is unpopular.
And then there's Germany. Are you surprised, Tony? Well, while the French bend the rules to suit their policies and their farmers, the Germans are left to do all the hard lifting. Who's left to make the European Union work?
Now, if they could just quit tempting us with those petrol-guzzling Mercedes, BMWs, Audis and Porsches. But I'll vote for Canada. Despite having the US as its next-door neighbour, the Canadians successfully resisted the Iraqi siren call. They've also resisted other wilder excesses from south of their border, including gun ownership madness. On the other hand, Canadians do have a rather nasty habit of clubbing baby seals.
Ah, and New Zealand. These days New Zealand can't do anything wrong. They're so anti-nuclear, the US Navy can't even show its face. And Australia is likely to send refugee boat people far, far away to its Pacific refugee camp, a place known as Nauru, you know. But New Zealand is likely to take the very same people in.
And add the Lord of the Rings and some other fine movies, and the invention of bungee jumping. And then we can almost forgive them for inventing the dwarf tossing competition. The dwarf hurling record is about 10 metres. Good heavens, they're people too. You probably thought all the dwarfs had acting roles in The Lord of the Rings.
Maybe we'd like to head north. Iceland has volcanoes, hot springs and Reykjavik. That's the party town of choice for Europeans. You wouldn't guess it. And they've given us Björk. There are a couple of dietary drawbacks, though. The Icelanders drink more Coca-Cola per capita than anyone else. Perhaps that's to disguise that taste of that other national favourite, rotten shark meat. Ugh.
Well, how about Finland? We've cut out Sweden and Norway, but surely Finland makes the cut. Finland has all the usual Scandinavian virtues, plus an enthusiasm for saunas. Santa Claus lives in Finnish Lapland, and the Finns elevated Euro trash to previously unknown heights when Lordi won the 2006 Eurovision Song Competition. And they did it with some horrible, hilarious monster rock. It was just trash. Now, that takes some doing.
I agree. So, how about heading over to Finland? We just might see some monsters.
Now listen to the same discussion in five sections. Look at questions 1 and 2.
We're always looking for a good destination, the perfect holiday spot, the interesting, the spectacular, the decent sort of place to go. You know, the opposite of a rogue state. Tony, where would you like to spend your holiday? Sweden. That sounds like a good, sane choice.
Sure. Sweden is neat and tidy, Anne. Even has a socialism that works. But when it comes to arms dealing, Sweden is right there with the other unethical countries. The Bofors bribery scandal in India is still bubbling right along some 20 years later. No, I don't think that'll make our list. I don't want to go there.
Answer questions 1 and 2, then look at questions 3 and 4.
Think about Bhutan, then. It's hard not to rate a Himalayan kingdom good when they talk about gross national happiness. Gross national happiness. Plus, in 2002, they won the other World Cup. You see, on the same day that Brazil beat Germany in the real football world championships, Bhutan beat Montserrat. They ranked 202nd and 203rd in the world.
Of course, it's not all good in the mountains. The Bhutanese have not been particularly nice to their Nepalese residents, many of whom have been kicked out and now live in squalid refugee camps. But the Bhutanese king seems to be as popular as the Nepalese monarch is unpopular.
Answer questions 3 and 4. Look at questions 5 and 6.
And then there's Germany. Are you surprised, Tony? Well, while the French bend the rules to suit their policies and their farmers, the Germans are left to do all the hard lifting. Who's left to make the European Union work?
Now, if they could just quit tempting us with those petrol-guzzling Mercedes, BMWs, Audis and Porsches. But I'll vote for Canada. Despite having the US as its next-door neighbour, the Canadians successfully resisted the Iraqi siren call. They've also resisted other wilder excesses from south of their border, including gun ownership madness. On the other hand, Canadians do have a rather nasty habit of clubbing baby seals.
Answer questions 5 and 6, then look at questions 7 and 8.
Ah, and New Zealand. These days New Zealand can't do anything wrong. They're so anti-nuclear, the US Navy can't even show its face. And Australia is likely to send refugee boat people far, far away to its Pacific refugee camp, a place known as Nauru, you know. But New Zealand is likely to take the very same people in.
And add the Lord of the Rings and some other fine movies, and the invention of bungee jumping. And then we can almost forgive them for inventing the dwarf tossing competition. The dwarf hurling record is about 10 metres. Good heavens, they're people too. You probably thought all the dwarfs had acting roles in The Lord of the Rings.
Answer questions 7 and 8. Look at questions 9 and 10.
Maybe we'd like to head north. Iceland has volcanoes, hot springs and Reykjavik. That's the party town of choice for Europeans. You wouldn't guess it. And they've given us Björk. There are a couple of dietary drawbacks, though. The Icelanders drink more Coca-Cola per capita than anyone else. Perhaps that's to disguise that taste of that other national favourite, rotten shark meat. Ugh.
Well, how about Finland? We've cut out Sweden and Norway, but surely Finland makes the cut. Finland has all the usual Scandinavian virtues, plus an enthusiasm for saunas. Santa Claus lives in Finnish Lapland, and the Finns elevated Eurotrash to previously unknown heights when Lordi won the 2006 Eurovision Song Competition. And they did it with some horrible, hilarious monster rock. It was just trash. Now, that takes some doing.
I agree. So, how about heading over to Finland? We just might see some monsters.
Answer questions 9 and 10. This is the second part of the test. You will hear this part twice. Listen to this part straight through.
A vast area of Canada is known as Nunavut. It was created in 1999 by dividing up the Northwest Territories. Compared to the southern parts of Canada, relatively few people live there. And of those people, some 85% are Inuit. Here's Jack Hicks to talk to us about what Nunavut independence has meant to Nunavut education. Jack, what did education mean to the Inuit?
Well, Phyllis, you surely understand that in historical Inuit society, education was not some activity separate from the rest of people's daily lives. Each and every day saw young people being prepared to become adults, and these adults had to be capable of surviving in an exceedingly hard environment. Remember, this is and was the far north. So, successful education meant the gradual adoption of adult roles. European-style formal education came rather late to Nunavut, and that meant the delivery of education in schools by teachers. Children were taken by airplane from their families' camps in the autumn and returned in the spring. In the winter, they were held in residential schools. This education was paternalistic, and the government placed it into the hands of the Anglican and Roman Catholic churches.
Jack, how did the creation of the new Nunavut government change education in the Arctic?
First, I should point out that the first Nunavut Assembly is as old as 1999. Not that old. the assembly soon drew up a plan to begin using Inuktitut as the language of instruction. Since there were just 12 trained Inuit teachers actually teaching in the schools at that time, Inuit classroom assistants had to carry the additional burden. Many of these assistants had very minimal training. So, as of now, children have been able to attend school in Inuktitut through grade 3, but many parents would like their children to be able to complete grade 12 entirely in Inuktitut. However, other parents are so disappointed with the quality of mother tongue instruction that they ask the government to leave Inuktitut instruction up to the families.
I remember that the Nunavut Assembly took on a high-profile effort to rewrite the Education Act. What happened to that?
The reality turned out to be rather less than the rhetoric. It was a consultation that produced hardly anything important. And that was followed by a bill that removed authority from community-based elected bodies and put it all in the hands of non-elected bureaucrats. But Nunavut's education system is not without its successes. An average of 130 students now graduate from high school each year. Less quantifiable is the quality of education that these students have received. While some do well in universities, Nunavut Arctic College has found it necessary to implement a full-year program to bring students to the place they can succeed at college level.
What about the education problems in Nunavut today?
There are no Inuit teachers in the high schools. Inuit who have higher education take jobs elsewhere. The cost per student of university education for Inuit is tremendous. For example, the training program for nurses costs $1 million a year, but it only takes in 14 students each year. And then there's another difficulty facing the school system. There are few tools for holding the school system accountable. Standardized testing is what's being used. Some people oppose standardized testing as being insensitive to cultural differences. The main Nunavut newspaper wrote that this was dishonest nonsense. For example, mathematics is a universal language. It doesn't matter if you are Chinese or Inuit. You need to study mathematics. The test results that do exist are miserable. In math tests carried out across Canada, students in Nunavut performed at levels well below the rest of the country.
How could these education problems be solved?
The children need to begin arriving at school energized after having had a good meal and a peaceful sleep in homes where the parents live a healthy lifestyle. This lifestyle must also include making sure their children attend school every day. Education must be valued by parents taking an active part in that education. The problem continues because of the parents' state of mind. The parents are already defeated citizens of the present society, victims. They have no pride or dignity involved with the democratic system, no pride with the programs which were designed to serve them. These people were, shall we say, civilized and conquered by the Canadian government. And what's the result for the schools? It's that only 1/4 of Inuit graduate from high school. That's what it comes down to.
Now listen to the same interview in 5 sections. Look at questions 11 and 12.
A vast area of Canada is known as Nunavut. It was created in 1999 by dividing up the Northwest Territories. Compared to the southern parts of Canada, relatively few people live there. And of those people, some 85% are Inuit. Here's Jack Hicks to talk to us about what Nunavut independence has meant to Nunavut education. Jack, what did education mean to the Inuit?
Well, Phyllis, you surely understand that in historical Inuit society, education was not some activity separate from the rest of people's daily lives. Each and every day saw young people being prepared to become adults, and these adults had to be capable of surviving in an exceedingly hard environment. Remember, this is and was the far north. So, successful education meant the gradual adoption of adult roles. European-style formal education came rather late to Nunavut, and that meant the delivery of education in schools by teachers. Children were taken by airplane from their families' camps in the autumn and returned in the spring. In the winter, they were held in residential schools. This education was paternalistic, and the government placed it into the hands of the Anglican and Roman Catholic churches.
Answer questions 11 and 12, then look at questions 13 and 14.
Jack, how did the creation of the new Nunavut government change education in the Arctic?
First, I should point out that the first Nunavut assembly is as old as 1999. Not that old. The assembly soon drew up a plan to begin using Inuktitut as the language of instruction. Since there were just 12 trained Inuit teachers actually teaching in the schools at that time, Inuit classroom assistants had to carry the additional burden. Many of these assistants had very minimal training. So, as of now, children have been able to attend school in Inuktitut through grade 3, but many parents would like their children to be able to complete grade 12 entirely in Inuktitut. However, other parents are so disappointed with the quality of mother tongue instruction that they asked the government to leave Inuktitut instruction up to the families.
Answer questions 13 and 14. Look at questions 15 and 16.
I remember that the Nunavut Assembly took on a high-profile effort to rewrite the Education Act. What happened to that?
The reality turned out to be rather less than the rhetoric. It was a consultation that produced hardly anything important, and that was followed by a bill that removed authority from community-based elected bodies and put it all in the hands of non-elected bureaucrats. But Nunavut's education system is not without its successes. An average of 130 students now graduate from high school each year. Less quantifiable is the quality of education that these students have received. While some do well in universities, Nunavut Arctic College has found it necessary to implement a full-year program to bring students to the place they can succeed at college level.
Answer questions 15 and 16, then look at questions 17 and 18.
What about the education problems in Nunavut today?
There are no Inuit teachers in the high schools. Inuit who have higher education take jobs elsewhere. The cost per student of university education for Inuit is tremendous. For example, the training program for nurses costs $1 million a year, but it only takes in 14 students each year. And then there's another difficulty facing the school system. There are few tools for holding the school system accountable. Standardized testing is what's being used. Some people oppose standardized testing as being insensitive to cultural differences. The main Nunavut newspaper wrote that this was dishonest nonsense. For example, mathematics is a universal language. It doesn't matter if you are Chinese or Inuit. You need to study mathematics. The test results that do exist are miserable. In math tests carried out across Canada, students in Nunavut performed at levels well below the rest of the country.
Answer questions 17 and 18. Look at questions 19 and 20.
How could these education problems be solved?
The children need to begin arriving at school energized after having had a good meal and a peaceful sleep in homes where the parents live a healthy lifestyle. This lifestyle must also include making sure their children attend school every day. Education must be valued by parents taking an active part in that education. The problem continues because of the parents' state of mind. The parents are already defeated citizens of the present society, victims. They have no pride or dignity involved with a democratic system, no pride with the programs which were designed to serve them. These people were, shall we say, civilized and conquered by the Canadian government. And what's the result for the schools? It's that only 1/4 of Inuit graduate from high school. That's what it comes down to.
Answer questions 19 and 20. This is the third part of the test. In this part, you will hear 5 short dialogues. You will hear each of them once only. Look at question 21.
That Frank.
What happened now?
Well, I could tell by the way Frank flared up at me last night that he wasn't happy with what I had done.
And what did you do?
That's a different story. Get back to you later on that.
Answer question 21, then look at question 22.
You know how I always try to hold out the olive branch?
I know, but Jill wasn't ready for it.
But life is too short to bear grudges for very long.
But some people don't see it that way, and Jill is one of them.
Answer question 22, look at question 23.
We're going to have to call Bill. There's no way we'll get this fixed by ourselves.
I know, and right away, you know, he'd give you the shirt off his back.
And think nothing of it.
Yeah, I'll get him on the phone.
Answer question 23, then look at question 24.
Luckily, I just managed to get in before it started.
Right. It's lovely weather for ducks.
I'll say. And as I ran across High Street to duck in here, a truck nearly ran me down.
What?
Yes, one of those bread trucks. You don't suppose the driver was high on drugs or something?
Probably not. Just in a hurry. You know how they drive.
Answer question 24. Look at question 25.
Well, last night a lot of people were opposed to our plan of action, but after a lot of discussion we were able to turn the tide.
Sure did. And I'm not sure what it was we said that did the trick.
Me either. But once it got going, it was big, really big. And all we did was sit back and watch the tide rip out. Then they were with us all the way.
This should be highly successful.
Answer question 25. This is the fourth part of the test. There are five sections. Each section is a separate piece of news. You will hear each section twice, and then you will have time to answer that section. Then you will go on to the next section. You will write in Finnish or Swedish. You must write your answers on the special answer sheet. Read question A. Question A. Listen to this section.
As passengers took their seats on the Lisbon to Madrid flight last Monday, they noticed that all of the 32 rows on one side of the plane were taped off. The captain told them on the intercom, "We will not be able to use that part of the plane because we have a safety problem with the door at the front. Don't worry, it's only a safety problem." Some passengers took photos of the taped-off seats, but staff stopped them, saying it was against company rules.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
As passengers took their seats on the Lisbon to Madrid flight last Monday, they noticed that all of the 32 rows on one side of the plane were taped off. The captain told them on the intercom, "We will not be able to use that part of the plane because we have a safety problem with the door at the front. Don't worry, it's only a safety problem." Some passengers took photos of the taped-off seats, but staff stopped them, saying it was against company rules.
Read question B. Question B. Listen to this section.
Postman Neil Filer was on his round in Bristol when he saw two large men pinning a terrified woman to a wall. Neil, the postie, walloped one of the muggers with his heavy mail bag while trying to free the victim. But just as he was about to call for help, several camera crew jumped out to reveal that the attack was actually a scene from a BBC drama. All the actors started laughing, and after Neil got over the shock, he did too.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Postman Neil Filer was on his round in Bristol when he saw two large men pinning a terrified woman to a wall. Neil, the postie, walloped one of the muggers with his heavy mail bag while trying to free the victim. But just as he was about to call for help, several camera crew jumped out to reveal that the attack was actually a scene from a BBC drama. All the actors started laughing, and after Neil got over the shock, he did too.
Read question C. Question C. Listen to this section.
The new head of Berlin's local rail system admits he used to be a fare dodger but stopped riding local trains and buses without a ticket more than 7 years ago. Tobias Heinemann said he had been a fare dodger years ago. The head of a metro system with 1.4 million passengers per day said he had always paid for his ticket since joining the company 7 years ago. Berlin, like most German cities, uses an honor-based system for tickets. Berlin estimates it lost a record 5 million euros last year to fare dodgers.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
The new head of Berlin's local rail system admits he used to be a fare dodger but stopped riding local trains and buses without a ticket more than 7 years ago. Tobias Heinemann said he had been a fare dodger years ago. The head of a metro system with 1.4 million passengers per day said he had always paid for his ticket since joining the company 7 years ago. Berlin, like most German cities, uses an honor-based system for tickets. Berlin estimates it lost a record 5 million euros last year to fare dodgers.
Read question D. Question D. Listen to this section.
Armed with shovels, 250 protesters swooped on a 16-hectare site outside Hull and planted thousands of organic potatoes. Activists from mutatoes.org apologised to farmer David Buckton after it emerged that they wrongly identified his land as the site of a genetic modification trial. The field they planted was sown with beans, and the beans were 6 inches tall already. The protesters should have been able to see that. Mutatoes.org said that the public were not given sufficient information by the government.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Armed with shovels, 250 protesters swooped on a 16-hectare site outside Hull and planted thousands of organic potatoes. Activists from Mutatoes.org apologised to farmer David Buckton after it emerged that they wrongly identified his land as the site of a genetic modification trial. The field they planted was sown with beans, and the beans were 6 inches tall already. The protesters should have been able to see that. Mutatoes.org said that the public were not given sufficient information by the government.
Read question E. Question E. Listen to this section.
Talk about a school outing. A coach driver with 40 pupils on board punched Hampton Court into his satellite navigator, expecting to end up at the palace at East Molesey, Surrey. Instead, the coach battled through congested rush hour streets to arrive at pokey Hampton Court alleyway in Islington, North London. In the end, all the 8 and 9-year-olds arrived back at Orchardlea School 8 hours after leaving. No palace.
Now listen to this again and then answer the question.
Talk about a school outing. A coach driver with 40 pupils on board punched Hampton Court into his satellite navigator, expecting to end up at the palace at East Molesey, Surrey. Instead, the coach battled through congested rush hour streets to arrive at pokey Hampton Court alleyway in Islington, North London. In the end, all the 8 and 9-year-olds arrived back at Orchardlea School 8 hours after leaving. No palace.
This is the end of the test. You will now have 8 minutes in which to blacken with a pencil the ovals indicating your answers and to check the written answers. Remember to make sure you have written the following information on your answer sheet: your name and number, and the name and number of your school. In addition, make sure that the information needed for the exam has been carefully marked in. Thank you.